One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Today, I am going to do a bit of British folklore.
Yes.
That being the Boggart.
Yeah.
Or Boggard.
Or the Bogeyman.
Yeah, indeed. And that is kind of where the name sort of derives from, really. There's many different guesses as to where the name comes from. One being the Bogeyman, like you said there. That comes from the word boog, which means goblin or hobgoblin. The hobgoblin being the same thing. So,
And it's also known that goblins have been in folklore very malevolent anyway, tricksters.
Mm.
You know, that are goblins, and you know they've always been ones to avoid.
But the boggart itself is predominantly malevolent and mischievous.
Yeah,
malevolent, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of... sometimes he can be good. You know, like when we had Vala Ventura on and she was talking about the fairies that you do chores around your house, if you leave him a cup of milk, that kind of shit. He does the same thing.
Ooh.
But if you offend him, then you get the shit kicked out of you, basically.
Oh, right, okay.
So
it was a bog out with an attitude, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Right, okay.
So, like, that was the
Don't
name...
Don't piss him off, then.
Now, there's variants, spellings, including... Like I say, Boggart and Boggart and Boggard. but they all mean the same creature, if you like. Actually, in the UK, we call toilet the bog, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't know if they say that around the world, but we call it the bog. And actually, that derives from this creature. Mostly in the north of England, right the way across from northwest to northeast. Again, the name changes as you go across. Yep. You know. But generally, if you say bog, most people will know what you're talking about. Back in the day, this is, I suppose, he hit his peak around late 1880s, that kind of thing, and then he sort of tails off after that.
Right.
So up to that sort of 16th century, sort of up to the 1880s, he's massive. You know, everywhere around the country, he's got a bog. There's many place names that are named after the, you know, like Boggart Hill and Boggart this and Boggart Wood, and do you know what I mean?
How about Bognor? Is that a good one then, Lee?
Bognor.
That could be a hot spot.
But that's Wales, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you think they would call him Hob, wouldn't you?
Something else. I don't know.
But obviously his name... Well, let me describe what he looks like, and then I'll go into, you know, where the name sort of fits from my perspective. Well, he's sort of a mixture between, you know, like you've got the Brownie and the Sprite, the Irish Sprite and the Scottish Brownie, which is kind of like a small... You know, Sprite, isn't it? Ooh. So a small goblin-type creature. When you initially think of Boggart, that's what you think of.
Right.
And especially when they're around the house, because there's two different types of Boggart. There's like a what you call as a house Boggart and a normal Boggart, which is an outdoor Boggart.
Right.
The one in the house is normally invisible. Okay, so you don't see him. This is what we call poltergeist, maybe today. But he'll do chores for you, so... Again, leaving the saucer of milk, that kind of stuff. There's a family in here that were leaving him out cream, and he was doing a lot of work for them.
I remember years ago, I was reading a story, that you must remember the story where the shoemaker, and he had all his stuff out, and he left all the equipment out, his leather and that, came back, and all his shoes were made. And he found out there's these little people come to his house. And,
little elves,
Little elves, and he was just leaving like some milk out, some food out, and they was happy to do the chores for him. So,
yeah, but didn't he offend them as well?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I can't remember how that ends, but yeah, that the cobbler or something.
The cobbler. Didn't he leave he was supposed to leave some money out and he never left them? And his shoes disappeared?
Something like that, yeah, and he went bankrupt.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he peed them off somehow, don't I?
There was an old Irish, like when you skip, kids skip and they sing songs. There was an Irish song that was about a cobbler. It was about Archibald, but. Anyway, I won't get into that because
carry on the story, mate.
Sidetracked. But so the obviously him being invisible, the house bogart, you don't normally see him. And again, if you treat him well, then he's fairly good to you. But the outdoor one, and this is where it's a bit different from the Sprite and the Brownie, because most people who see this creature say he's no more than 2 feet tall. Now, on another occasion, he does get up to sort of 6 feet tall.
Right.
But generally, most people would say he's about 2 feet tall. I think when you're talking about the 6 foot one, I think that's something else.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's normally sort of 1 to 2 feet tall, covered in hair, human face, and stands like a human. Yeah. So, like a little people. You know what I mean? You talk about the Bigfoot and you have the little people.
Yeah, little people. Yeah.
I think this is, you know, kind of what's being described here. Now, he's a bit of a shapeshifter as well. Okay. So, vary in different places. Many accounts all around the country where in Lancashire, a place called Hackenshall Hall, he actually changed into the appearance of a horse.
Right.
Okay, and there's another case in Yorkshire where he turns into a sheep. So I don't know if that's, again, I think I don't know if that's the guy who's seeing it. It's projection, or if it's the actual creature, you know. But again, you know, it's
my money would be on projection.
Mm. Now he's said to reside when he's at, obviously when he's indoors, he's invisible. When he's outside, he's meant to reside in boggy, marshy areas. Again, that's where the name might come from, Boggart. Okay, woods, that kind of thing. Now there's another way he might have got his name, which is the Anglo-Saxon way, because they think that the word for town in Anglo-Saxon is Bur, And the word for ghost is geist. So they used to call the local ghost the bear geist.
Yeah.
So we don't know if it's got translated over time into boggart from that,
yeah.
Which basically means town ghost. Mm. And this is what this creature is, because he's one of them that he doesn't just haunt a particular house, he'll haunt the area.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people will see him, a lot of people have shit going wrong, horses being let out, this kind of stuff. Now, if you're unfortunate enough to get a boggart, there is ways you can stop him. Mm. One of the ways being salt. You put a pile of salt outside your house. You don't like that.
Right.
Holly trees. You don't like holly trees. So if you grow holly trees, and I don't like holly trees, they're fucking nasty things.
But holly for Christmas?
Christmas is all right, but the rest of the year, you know? Yeah. What can you do with a holly tree? It's just nasty, isn't it? I'd rather have a willow tree.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
But holly tree, that's another way. And then the most common way, and you'll notice this quite a lot when you go around Lancashire and places like that, Yorkshire particularly, the horseshoe over the door.
Yep.
Yeah, and again, it's sent to bring luck in it.
Yeah, supposed to be.
And it also wards these off. Mm. So a lot of people have horseshoes for luck, but the byproduct of that is those people probably don't have boggarts running around their house.
Correct.
Now, one of the worst things you can do with a boggart, right, is to give him a name. Okay, so a lot of these, where you'll see like cases where it's like the Horbury boggart, the this boggart, the that boggart, the Blow Hill boggart, they give them names, and that gives them energy or gives them, gives them a lot of control.
Mm.
Once you start naming it, you've got problems. And it said one of the things it's like a well held belief in the areas, right? You just never, ever give the boggart a name. Because if you do, at that point, you would not be able to reason with him or persuade him anymore. So he becomes uncontrollable and destructive. Right? And that's a widespread belief around most of the areas where he crops up, which you're talking Lancashire and Yorkshire and all these sorts of places, but it's common. Mm. Same belief wherever. So maybe there's something to that. Now, I talked about him being in the bogs and the marshes, that kind of stuff. And again, you got to go back into their minds at the time, okay? And everything that happened was the boggart, the boogeyman, yeah? Same
things, yes. Yeah. Same person or same being, but
and
different.
It, again, that's common across Europe, isn't it? If something happens, it's the boogeyman, didn't it?
It's the boogeyman.
So obviously, when people went out in the marshes, the bogs, and went missing, well, obviously, the boggarts took them and devoured them.
That's it.
Again, children going missing, the boggart took them. This has echoes of like Native Americans and that talking about the Bigfoot taking children and stuff. Yep. So I don't know if there's something to do with that, but yeah, they do say if you're unfortunate enough to be caught by them, he will devour you. Skittish horses is another thing. If you have a horse that's uncontrollable, you try and put reins on a horse and sometimes it flares up. Well, there's no reason for that in their minds. That horse has seen an invisible boggart. Right. We can't see him, but the horse can see him, and then it's trying to get away from him. So, again,
well, animals can see much more than we can, anyway.
Indeed. And so, I'm gonna. I've got a little beast on that, which I'll do next week.
Okay.
Okay, so I won't get into it here, but right, house boggarts. Then, again, these you'll see what you should and shouldn't do from this story. Okay, so this takes place in on a farm called Sky Lum Farm. And this is near Blackburn, in Lancashire.
Lancashire.
In the UK. And apparently, this boggart still resides there today.
Ah, right.
So, it all starts in good humour, okay? And the noted... Now, they call him a goblin.
Right.
In this piece. The noted goblin will milk the cows, pull the hay, fodder the cattle, harness the horses, load the cart, and stack the crops. Okay? But.
Yep. But.
Yeah. When irritated by an utterance of some unguarded expression or mark of disrespect, either from the farmer or his servants, the cream mugs are smashed into atoms. No butter can be obtained from churning. The horses and other cattle are turned loose or driven into the woods. Two cows will sometimes be found fastened into the same stall, So again, it's not just coincidence. It could be coincidence, but how do you get them fastened in there, fastened into the same stall. No hay can be pulled from the mow, and all the while the wicked imp sits grinning with delight upon one of the crossbeams in the barn.
Ooh.
Other times the horses are unable to draw an empty cart across the farmyard. So this, making things difficult,
ooh, yeah,
is in his nature. So yeah, something that should be fairly straightforward,
yeah,
becomes difficult.
Harder. Yeah, yeah.
And again, you've got to put yourself in their mindset, but it could be the boggart,
Bogeyman.
Okay, if loaded, they are upset. Whilst the cattle trembles with fear, not at a visible cause, again,
ooh, yeah,
nor do the inmates of the house experience any better, right? During the night, their clothes are said to be violently torn from their beds.
Ooh.
Okay?
Yep.
So this, again, goes into the poltergeist aspect of the,
yep,
this thing. Whilst invisible hands drag these individuals down the stairs by the legs, one step at a time. Now, this says legs, right? I have read other stories where they're actually dragging them down the stairs by the hair,
right,
by the genitals.
Right. I'm not bothered either way.
Yeah, so going down the stairs in the middle of the night, being dragged down, is pretty bad anyway.
Definitely.
Being dragged by your balls is another painful thing altogether, especially something you can't see or react to. And again, a lot of people say, well, these things that are happening at night and that is the old hag syndrome, this kind of thing, but...
No, I don't believe that.
You don't get dragged down the stairs by the old hag, do you?
No.
By sleep paralysis.
Correct.
So that's what happens if you piss him off, right? So,
right.
Now, another place called, I've never heard of this, Hoverers Shull Hall. You heard that?
Never.
It's near Ribchester, apparently.
Ooh.
Was formerly the scene of a similar exploit. But the goblin is understood to have been laid under the roots of a large laurel tree at the end of the house and will not be able to molest the family as long as the tree exists.
Right.
Okay, so this is this spell sort of situation, and this comes up in the next story with a stone. Now, it's a common opinion, part of the country, that the roots have to be moistened with milk on certain occasions in order to prolong the existence of the tree.
Yeah.
And obviously that keeps him trapped there. Also, to reserve the power of the spell under the goblin, under which the goblin is laid. Now, this goes on... talk a little bit about how the Roman Catholic Church had this way of laying an evil spirit,
ooh,
which is this ritual, if you like, putting it down there and having keep a spell it, which yeah, keep it there as long, yeah, as you maintain the, whatever.
The spell.
Yeah, the upkeep, ritual, if you like, yeah, the ritual, yeah, which is, yeah, the milk every, yeah, so often under the such and such moon, whatever. But again, you got all these people running out there putting milk on this tree, and it might not, probably doesn't exist, I guess, but...
Well, that's what religion does to you. It makes you mad.
You've got to put yourself... Obviously, when you read these stories, you've got to put yourself back in those days, haven't you?
Well, it was hairy days and days, wasn't it? It was, yeah, all controlled by religion. Everything was the devil. Everything was a demon.
Everything was the boogeyman.
Everything was the boogeyman. I mean, I think sometimes, these people, I reckon some killers there who kill people, something to the bogs, blame the boggart, or the, I didn't do it, it was the bogeyman that did it.
Yeah.
The boggart did it. So they had many excuses to go out and kill people and stuff them in the bogs, definitely.
I don't know how well that'll go for you. Well, here's that story.
Right.
This is the, there's one here which sort of has parallels with some stories that you'll hear about people talking about Bigfoots and that.
Yeah.
So I'll go into that in a minute. It's just a little story from Horbury, but I think it's quite significant what the guy says. And then there's this one. And I'm saying this one's made up, but this presumably is made up.
Mm.
Okay, so it says, and again, we don't know who the author for this is, but it says, well, this is how it happens. After breakfast, we set out a bowl of fresh milk and a slice of French buttermilk sourdough bread, right? lathered with sweet cream, unsalted butter. If you don't like salted butter, so just remember that. And a drizzle of honey, right, on the pantry floor and close the door. Then we go away for several hours to do chores,
right,
or crosswords, or exercise, or blogging, or whatever. While we are away, the boggart in the pantry laps up and gobbles the milk and bread. Then the wee frisky man, or the wild hairy goblin, again, you know, depending where you're from, transforms into a good servant elf. And a squeaky, grinning and twisted spinning, he loads the dishwasher, cleans the stove top, washes the counters and sweeps and mops the floor. Then he goes back to the secret hiding place in the pantry. But sometimes, when we peek through the keyhole and the pantry door, we can sometimes see the little boggart snoozing behind the flour bin.
All
right. And this is definitely one to try, you know. I think if...
Is this the same shit, right, that we, you know, when Father Christmas comes, you leave out, you know, a glass of milk and a saucer of biscuits?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this kind of like, well, if he's going to bring me nice presents, I'm going to really
reward
him,
yeah.
Reward him with a glass of milk and some biscuits.
I'm sure if I leave, you know, cream out or whatever, I'm sure my house ain't going to get cleaned.
No.
You know, so no, I don't know how the boggart picks and chooses its... who it will and won't work for, but obviously he's not happy with me. Right. Now, this case is the case of... this was a horrible boggart. Like I say, there's some good, there's some bad.
Yeah.
And obviously this one was upset. This is in Cumbria, okay? And it says that this is a case of a farmer in Cumbria who used to give the boggart a jug of cream after the day's work, okay?
Yep.
So again, he was helping him out. The custom carried on with his son, who took over the farm after his father died. However, the son's wife tried to economise by putting a stop to the boggart's payment of a jug of cream. Because she probably thought, well, this is a load of, you know, bollocks. Like.
Yeah. Backfired.
I'm not leaving my best cream out.
Yeah, sod that.
Yeah, give him water.
Yeah.
So she put a stop to it. She put her foot down, okay? In doing this, she upset the boggart. This resulted in chaos in the farmhouse, with pans crashing and being thrown about, and due to the family, were forced to flee.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, the boggart decided to move with them. Okay.
Right, okay.
This is not the concern of the road in east of Longridge in Lancashire. Along the road beneath the holly hedge can be found a strange stone slab. And again, the holly ties in with this because this is like a spell to him as well. Inscribed on this stone can clearly be seen the words, Raffy Radcliffe laid this stone to lie forever, A.D. 1655. So this gives you some idea of how long this sort of thing has been going on. It is known locally as the Written Stone, and the legend surrounding it says that it was placed there to imprison a boggart who had been terrorising the local inhabitants by physically attacking them. It is also thought that the boggart was responsible for the death of a member of the Radcliffe family who lived at the nearby farm.
Right.
And again, there's some who believe the stone was placed... So imagine there's a hole, and the boggart was in the hole, and they put the stone on top of the boggart, so he couldn't get out.
Yeah.
Others think that it was just... It's just a ritual type thing. They just put this stone there for to keep him out of the area, if you like. But either way, you know, the stone's there. And it's still there today. There's a photo of it. I can show you a photo of it.
Yeah.
I'll put it on there if people want to see it. Okay, so he's killed someone, that, and that's obviously shit's gone AWOL and all that, so they've gone and put this stone there. The next owner of the farm for the same... Right, now get this, right? The next owner of the farm, for some reason, decided he wanted the possession of the written stone and said that it took 6 horses and many labourers to remove the stone and deliver it to the farm where it was placed in the dairy. Now, I'm just going to go mention that again because it's relevant. 6 horses and labourers to move it, right? So it took a lot to get this thing away. I'll leave that with you in a minute. Over the period of time, things started happening. Accidents happened to people who came into contact with the stone. Objects placed on the stone would be pushed off and damaged. The farmer finally started to believe the stories attached to this strange stone slab and came to the conclusion that it was indeed cursed.
Right.
The odd thing was that when he finally decided to return it to its place of origin, it took only one horse and a couple of men to return it back. So, obviously, whatever was keeping it there, this the spell or whatever the curse, didn't want it to be taken away.
Correct.
Six horses, but one horse could take it back. He wanted to go back, yeah?
Yeah.
It is said that the local doctor, hearing about this story, scoffed at the tale and decided to take his horse and ride it out there where the stone had been returned to, underneath the holly bush. When the doctor approached the Boggart stone, a swirling mass was seen to emanate from the stone. This caused the horse to bolt for 2 miles, luckily for the doctor, as it took him away from immediate danger. It is not known whether anyone has, in more recent times, has tried to move the stone. Perhaps someone foolishly will attempt this, and once again, great danger will be released.
Ooh, so kind of a curse.
Curse stone, yeah.
Yeah.
So, right, get this one. Now, this is Whitby.
Ah, Whitby. I was there a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Beautiful place.
And again, up there, they call it the Hobgoblin or the Boggle or the Brownie.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember Boggles?
Yeah, I remember Boggles.
Them little toys that you used Boggles. To get. Yeah.
What was that film with the them little, and some come up the toilet and bits of bollocks? Which was that one? Oh, was it is that early, late 80s film? Oh, it was a, there's all, you know, they came out, they attacked people, but it was all about 2 feet
like
tall.
Toy Master or something.
I'll call it now. But that really, that kind of gives me that the Boggart or the Boogeyman, because, you know, they're out there just to cause mischief and everything. And,
well, if somebody knows what he's on about.
Yeah, what's it called?
Please let me know.
Yeah, it was an 80s film, and one of them where a guy was in a toilet and it popped up on there, and it bit his genitals.
Oh, dear.
Ooh, yeah, do you?
Well, if somebody knows that, they should definitely let me know. So
yeah, please let us know.
That sounds...
But that might be the Boggart.
That sounds like worth watching. There was another film like that where there was these little tiny shadow men, and real tiny, probably about 6 inches tall.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, but like there's a scene in it where... I think it's a black and white film, but there's a scene in it where there's a lady and she's in the shower, and she's obviously showering, with a curtain pulled across, and it's not a hillbilly horror story curtain. Right. But
it's not a psycho, is it?
It's anyway. She's there, and these things come out the airing cupboard,
right,
where the towels are, and they start running around. And I remember it was on, and I don't know if it was on just late at night or something. And I was watching it, and my nana woke up to come in, and she turned it off, obviously, because it was some sort of horror film. But I don't know what that film was, and I've been trying to find it for years, and I've never been able to. So if somebody knows that, please let me know. Okay, so again, there's a boggle hole, right? And again, this is what they call them up there, that lies between Whitby and its coastal neighbour of Robin Hood's Bay. In local folklore, boggles were believed to be little people that inhabit many of the caves running along the coast. And it says that these went on to inspire loads of characters in various different films, etc., and books and shit. But in reality, it's thought that the natural coastal caves were accidentally used by local smugglers. Yeah, actually used by... You found it?
Yeah. It's called Critters.
Critters. Oh, yeah, I remember.
You know that one? Yeah, Critters. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, yeah. Critters, that's it. Yeah, 1986.
Yeah.
And that day was like, about 2 feet tall?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they just come out,
loads of them. Yeah, so it's kind of... It's
kind
similar.
Of that, because they came out and they just wanted calls.
And they've got red eyes, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got red eyes.
They're
all covered in fur, weren't they?
Yeah, I missed that off the description. But yeah, he is sometimes depicted as having red eyes, glowing eyes.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, Critters.
Anyway, so these caves were actually used by local smugglers to place, obviously, contraband. Right. Hob Hole lies near the fishing village of Runswick Bay, and is said to be inhabited by the Hob, with an uncommon gift. The local fishermen and their families are said to believe that the cave's resident, the Boggle, could cure whooping cough.
Ooh.
Whilst the fishermen themselves were apparently too fearful to cross the entrance to the cave at night, they would send their wives. Right?
Ooh,
all right,
okay.
So there you go. You send your wives down there. Not just the wives, though, but the kids as well. So they send the wives down there in times of need by carrying their sick children down to the cave to call upon the Hob's mystical healing powers.
Ooh.
And apparently could cure whooping cough.
All right.
So
Saint Benevolent.
He'd probably cure constipation as well if he fucking came out.
Did he want a payment or was it free charge?
Well, it sent the wives down there, so one can only assume. But
possibly, some kind of payment.
The Horbury Boggart, okay, and this one is what now. Some people, when they see the boggart, there's another case of a guy back in the 1800s.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And they actually go out looking for this creature. No one believes it. They'll get tanked up, go to the pub, having a few jollies, and then they decide to go out in the woods and look for this fit. So he's there and he's got a couple of mates with him. And one of his mates runs past him.
Ooh.
And he says, "Hey, up, Henry, where are you going, you know?" And he carries on running. So he takes after him and he's chasing him. "Henry, what's up? What's wrong? Why are you running?" And then this thing turns around and it's got a skeletal face, red eyes. And he realises then it's the boggart. So he runs back to the pub and finds his mate. As he runs, he can hear someone praying.
Ooh.
And he runs into the doorway of the pub and his mate slumped there praying because he'd seen the same thing.
Oh, right, okay.
And they never spoke about it, but they never went back out there either. And again, you know, so but this one from Horbury, which is Yorkshire again, Wakefield, and it's just Wakefield. Outside Leeds.
Yeah,
most people know Leeds, but again, this one, look, the boggart, and this is a skeletal and partially decomposed human with red or green staring eyes. Right, was first seen in 1917 by a young visitor to the town, and was attacked in Watson's Yard. Watson's Yard isn't listed on any modern maps, but is believed to be on a cobbled area of land just off the High Street.
Right.
And have serviced the properties at the bottom of Queen Street. We've probably been here, you know?
Most likely.
The young man was Jacob Shaw and was suffered burn marks around his neck after the attack. So he's come away with, you know, damage here. Said the hand that touched him felt icy cold.
Ooh.
Shaw's account might have been put down to stuff of nonsense. Stuff of nonsense had it not been for the testimony of Horbury lad John Gibbon. He was walking home from the pub some weeks later when he stopped off in the yard to answer the call of nature. You get a £60 fine for that nowadays. He also, don't you, because... Anyway, as soon as you come out of a pub and try and have a wee and the cops are on your hand.
Well, you go somewhere discreet, don't you?
Yeah.
Anyway,
what I was up to? When he encountered the ghastly boggart, he said he saw the great hairy beast with big red eyes and smelling of dead meat staring at him from the darkness. Mm. Right?
Yep.
Some people have said that both men were mad and others said they saw a fearsome sight, which was the result of drink or terror.
Yeah.
Of course it's drink.
Mm.
You know how many times I've been drunk and I ain't never seen, on them occasions, I've never seen anything.
No.
Other than, you know, waking up inside a wardrobe, having a wee, that kind of stuff.
No, I've done that a few times. I've never seen any entity when I was drunk. Sober, yes, but never drunk.
That's what I mean. So, anyway. But no one knows for sure whether it was a figure. The figure was a figment of his imagination or a mystery that is unlikely to be solved. It says, similarly, no one will ever know what came out of the shadows on an eerie night in Horbury Bridge. A woman who kept her shop there lost her mother when she was 16. She went into service and was treated abominably.
Yeah, yeah. Abruptly.
Abominably. Abominably.
Abominably, yeah.
One night... She was treated really bad.
Yeah, that's better.
One night, she ran to her mother's grave and spoke of her sorrows. While kneeling by the graveside, a vaporous apparition rose out of the ground and told her to hang on for a while because things would soon be well.
Right.
The girl was sure the ghostly figure, which was described as being made out of fog or moonshine, and that's not the drink,
yeah.
was her mother, just as she predicted. Her life took a turn for the better soon afterwards.
Ooh.
Swirling mist. I've seen one of them.
I've actually saw that. We talked about it, weren't we, the other day? I saw one in a church, and it came straight to me, and it surrounded me. And this mist had intelligence, people. It wasn't just a bit of fog and a bit of wind that blew it towards me. This mist saw me, came, I'd say about 400 yards.
I see rum gone.
Yeah, about 400 yards, and it surrounded me, and it had intelligence, and it wanted to know what I was doing in that graveyard that night. So
it's funny you say intelligence, because
yes,
the one I saw, now, there must be people out there that have seen the same thing, because it sounds fairly common if we've both seen it, but the one I saw,
I've actually got a picture of it, and I'll put it on the Hangout. I'll send it on the Hangout.
Mm. Well, I ain't got a picture, but I was babysitting. It was about about midnight, just after midnight, I reckon.
Yeah.
And I was laid on the settee. I was babysitting my mate's kids, and I fell asleep on the settee. And something awoke me, and it felt like a whirlwind.
Mm.
Like a cold breeze, but circular, blowing around me. You know, like when you stood in, a corner, you know, when he's at school or something, when he's stood in the corner of the playground and the leaves start blowing in a circle.
That's right, yep.
That's what this was. But obviously, I'm in the front room here.
Yeah.
TV's still on. And I can't remember the sound actually being on, but it must have been on. But anyway, I woke up, there's this swirling mass, and I looked up and I could just see this black smoke.
Mm.
And I looked at it for a bit, but I got the impression, and I don't know why, and you say intelligence, but I got the impression that this was looking at me.
Yeah.
I know it's swirling.
Yeah, but it was something in it.
But I got the impression it could see me. And it just swirled, and then it went up over the fireplace and back into the wall.
Mm.
There was a picture hanging. But I don't think the picture's significant. I don't think it came out the picture. I think it was just going into the wall. But yeah, it went up into this picture. And never seen it again. Then obviously, my mate came in at about 3:30 in the morning. So I didn't get to speak to her that night. And she was obviously drunk.
Mm.
So next morning, breakfast, I said to her, "Hey, have you ever had anything strange happen?" She said, "Not really, no." I says, "Well," I started telling her that. I says, "I woke up and I just saw this black." And before I even had a chance to think of it, she said, "Smoke."
Does she know?
So, yeah, see, someone else had seen it.
Yeah.
Not air, but someone else had seen it. But nothing else happened in the house. It wasn't like it was, haunted or anything like that. It was just this, I don't know.
Strange. I've been back to that cemetery previously after that, and nothing. It never turned back up. Just there. But I sensed it was maybe a guardian or maybe a spirit of that cemetery. You know, it just wanted to know basically what my intentions was in a graveyard. And I wasn't frightened. I was quite excited. When I'm taking pictures. I've got my phone ready. I'm going, oh my God. I'm just really hoping that the pictures came out, and they did.
I've got a story for you about being excited in a minute. But so that's the story of the bog art anyway.
Yep.
And if anyone else out there has seen that film I was talking about, or if you've seen that black swirling mist and you want to tell us about it, please don't hesitate to get in touch. You can...
Again, when it came around me, I was buzzing. I was tingling all over.
I want shock.
No, it wasn't out there to hit.
I went straight back to sleep, so I couldn't have been that overly wound up by it.
Well, I was just excited because I got pictures of it. And, you know, I can prove
anyway, exciting. We'll get on to that in a sec.
Okay, yeah.
iTunes UK review, 5 stars. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much indeed.
If you're into the paranormal, you are, and I guess there's more to that, but I can't read it on here. I'm reading it off my phone. But it says, this podcast covers all kinds of topics from UFOs to Dogman, Flat Earth to Dick.
Flat Earth to Dick Turpin.
That's better. Yeah. Finish your sentence, yeah. Lee.
I listened to this podcast too.
We might know what's coming on.
Yeah.
I listened to this podcast too, and from work, Lee and Andy come across really friendly. It's like having two of your best mates in a car while chatting about stuff we all like. Recommend this podcast. Keep up the good work, guys. And that is from Kirk.
Thank you very much, Kirk.
Username Blue37.
Thank you very much.
So, fantastico. Right. I've got to stop before I get into the paranormal news. Do you want to wear this story somebody sent me?
Yeah, go on, mate.
And I don't know who this person is. Obviously, if you're listening, thank you very much for sending me this story. I had a good laugh with it. Now, this is hard to get your head around, but listen to this.
Yeah, come on. Spit it out.
Yeah. A widower who was struck by lightning as he masturbated to the Bible. A widower who was struck by lightning as he masturbated to the Bible. Says he now believes that masturbation is a sin.
Well, he didn't believe it at the time, did he?
I mean, masturbate. Now, he's never heard of Pornhub or...
Well, maybe you saw a little paraphrase in there that...
Well, I'll tell you what
made
he...
him get out his wicked willy.
I'll tell you what he was reading when he. I can't imagine. I mean, I've read the Bible. I mean, I read it when I was a kid, so I can't imagine there's too graphic in it.
I've just got the Bible.
But anyway, American, right? John Taylor of Mount Pleasant, Utah, was found in critical condition after being struck down by a lightning bolt. He told the officers, I don't know why he's telling people this, okay? But he told the officers he had been masturbating to the Bible moments before the incident.
You sure he went to Babe Station? He'd have his phone on, you know what I mean? But he didn't want to tell his parishioners he was watching Babe Station.
Well, I'll tell you where he was.
Right? I can see, I can piece
maybe
it all together
he took,
now.
Maybe he took the mountain's name to, you know...
Was he religious?
He was
person?
Up Mount Pleasant, so I don't know if he... He took that to be... According to Mount Pleasant patrol officer, who rescued the 66-year-old, the religious man had decided to go up for a stroll on Mount Pleasant that day and was caught offset by a raging storm. And that's not a euphemism.
No.
May have cost him his life. Right. Speaking of his experience, he told the local reporter that since my wife passed away last year, I often seek the tranquility of hiking trails of Mount Pleasant.
Right.
Adding, I bring my Bible to meditate about God, Jesus, and creation. Now, I can see why he's finding that erotic, right?
Why?
I strongly believe God... No, that's not what he was reading. I strongly believe God has punished me for my sinful ways that day, and I'm glad that God has given me a second chance to spread his word and tell my story. Tell you what, if I got hit by a fucking lightning, I wouldn't be glad. Anyway, Mr. Taylor now describes the fact that he was masturbating to the Bible moments before being struck down by lightning and declares that the masturbation is a sin. He said, I am ashamed to say that I was fulfilling my dirty needs when holding the sacred object. It says, written down from the spoken word of God, if God has intended this to be my punishment for sinful ways, I feel I must share my story with the world so that others may avoid this dreadful path. Now, I can't imagine there's too many people that have had a wank over the Bible.
I think it's an excuse. Yeah. I think he got caught with a porno magazine, mate, and he was too embarrassed to tell his parishioners. So he placed it with a Bible. I reckon he was knocking it off with a porno magazine.
Well, that'd make more sense.
It would, wouldn't
it?
Yeah. I mean, you open a Bible and get off on a certain religious writing, would you?
Well, he says he was reading. He says he don't want other people to pay their heavy prices either. Again, I can't see many people masturbating to the Bible. He said that. He was reading the book of Ezekiel and the day... right. Now, it says that he wants everybody... he admonishes everybody who reads this to read it with a pure mind, okay? He says the sexual urges exploded when reading verses Ezekiel 19 and 20, which he warns must be read only by strong, devout Christians with a greater understanding of the Bible's inherent truth and the body's fucking ages. Right, listen. Right. Now, I mean, I'm not very good at all this Ezekiel and shit, but I had a quick look what that passage was.
Right.
And as far as I can tell, this is what was getting him horny up Mount Pleasant. And see if it does out for you. See if this rings your bells.
Okay, mate.
It says, and I don't know who it's about. Someone could probably fill that in for me. But it says, yet she became more and more promiscuous as she recalled the days of her youth when she was a prostitute in Egypt. There she lusted after her lovers whose genitals were like those of a donkey and whose emissions were like those of a horse.
bit of a dirty...
I can't see that doing anything for anybody.
Well, it hasn't raised me, by the way. I first of all thought you'd let you know. Yes. He had a porno magazine, and that was it. He got caught by the coppers banging one off to some porno magazine. That was it. And to make things to him better, I did it over a Bible.
Yeah.
No.
And that makes it worse.
No.
Anyway, so...
it's Penthouse. That's what it was, Penthouse.
We got some paranormal news?
Yes, we have.
Let's do that then.
Let's do the paranormal news.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the paranormal news. Broadcasting to you from places unknown, bringing you the top three paranormal headlines of the week.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
From the Daily Star, Brit mum sees ghost of little boy in window of a flat in Google Maps.
Ooh.
Okay. Elaine McMonagall says the startling photo was taken outside her flat and shows the ghost of a little boy in the window. Now, even more terrifying is her 3-year-old daughter claims she used to play with a little boy who jumped on her bed.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yep.
Elaine made the discovery while looking at Google Street View images of her flat in Alexandria, Scotland. Elaine's daughter, Hayley, told her about a little boy who lived in a flat and even said a man lived there too. The 31-year-old thought there were paranormal happenings in the flat and lights would often turn on and off and she would come home to find her possessions moved around. To stop herself being freaked out by the tales of her daughter, Elaine dismissed them as just imaginary friends, which you would.
Of course you would.
But when Elaine took a look at the flat on Google Street View, she found a terrifying face looking back at her from the window. Elaine said, I'm going to do my Scottish accent.
Jack, what?
I can't do fucking Scottish, can I?
No.
You know what happened on Welsh. He's talking about the A70 abduction case the other day.
Yeah.
Hayley would always talk about the little boy. And the man, that's meant to be a woman.
Yeah.
Hayley would also talk about a little boy and a man in the house and it freaked me out. Right, that's the picture, look, just so you can see. All the people at home can't, but
yeah, we'll stick that and hang out. It's fun to have a look.
Not that convincing.
No.
A little boy was called Johnny and he used to jump on the bed with her. Obviously I put it down to possible imaginary friends, so not to totally scare myself. I decided to Google map it, and holy hell, the picture on Google Street View were taken like a year before I moved in. Well, I mean, so that could just be somebody in the window then, couldn't it?
Possible.
Yeah. It would come home at the, and the bathroom light would be quite a lot, on quite a lot, when I, we would come home to the bathroom light on quite a lot when I know I hadn't been, when it hadn't been on. There was colouring paper lying on the floor, my daughter's toys were all around the bedroom, and on the living room floor. Well, yeah. All the doors on the house, I'm presuming that one light out when she left, yeah?
Yeah.
All the doors in the house were massive glass panelled, and quite often you could see shadows passing by when you were in the room or living room. There was on occasion a musty smell, as well as that would come and go, like really old smell. On occasion, Hayley would see a shadow or hear something call her name when no one was there. Despite being freaked out by the terrifying picture, Elaine isn't worried about her little girl's experience. She said, "I think it's a gift of sorts. I believe children are more sensitive to these things, and as long as it's not harming them or causing a fear, I don't see an issue."
Ooh.
Fair enough.
Well, yeah. No, again, that's...
Definitely go on the Hangout or go on the website to have a look at that picture.
Shall I do mine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A ghost hunter claims to have caught a hooded monk spirit on camera while exploring the Abbey ruins. Paranormal investigator Kyle Thompson was stunned when he went through footage from his visit to Rosh Abbey in Maltby, South Yorkshire, because he believes he caught the towering appearance on the doorway near the back of the picture. The ghost hunter claims the picture shows a 6-foot-tall cloaked and hooded figure holding a large cross similar to ones used during mass celebrations. Kyle said that during the trip with pal Jason Underwood and cameraman James Smith, he didn't feel much paranormal activity, and it was only when he looked over the film that he spotted the outline. Carl from Barnsley, South Yorkshire, said it was a strange investigation as we didn't feel much was happening. So we'll stick the pic on Hangout, and I've looked at that and I'm thinking, looks okay.
Yeah.
Maybe genuine. So I think that's a thumbs up for me. Possibly it could be mostly residual, not there. So the camera's picked up residual. That's my take on it.
Right, another one from the Daily Star, and this is bizarre. Heatwave ghosts, paranormal investigator reports major summer spike in call-ins. Britain's heatwave has caused a massive spike in ghost sightings, paranormal expert claims. Gary Parsons, 53, a professional paranormal investigator, okay, because you knew they exist.
Do they?
Has received a major spike of calls in the last couple of months. He said that some people have even been afraid to enter their own homes because the ghost apparitions summoned by the scorching sun. Gary, who runs the Plymouth Paranormal Investigation... Not what he's called that. Plymouth Paranormal Investigations, PPI. That's what. Anyway, from his Devon home, believes the increase is due to the unseasonably warm weather. Unseasonably warm in summer. Anyway, unseasonably warm weather in the UK has been enjoying. Temperatures have been in the high 20s and 30s for the best part of 6 weeks. While mercury peaking around the 35°C, that's the thermometer, not the planet.
Yeah.
He said, "We have received a major spike in numbers of calls during June and July, with people reporting scary supernatural phenomenon. One couple almost afraid to go into their home because of the poltergeist. The residual energies are making things move." Gary and his team of ghost hunters have been in the ghostly business now for years and use highly specialised technical equipment to free homeowners of unwelcome spirits.
With a price.
Then going with them fucking things from Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
Chuck a trap out! Yeah.
Gonna get slimed. Equipment.
Fucking, you know, they're going in there with them fucking meters.
Yeah. Bullshit.
Technical paranormal expert Robert Bryan said, "With temperatures soaring around, it is having an unexplained increase in paranormal activity." That is paranormal. We have used a number of items to communicate with the energies, and especially our Huff Wonder Box. Get that from Anne Summers, probably.
Most likely.
It is designed to search out unexplained orb lights, eerie voices, and deadly spirits. On a recent house investigation, my body was taken over by the dead. Oh, fuck off.
Bullshit.
My body was taken over by a dead priest.
Yeah.
And refused to leave until I was ordered to leave my colleague, Amanda Arena. Whatever. Yeah. See, that possession thing just does it for me.
Get it down here. Cock of shit, mate. You should never go in a place unprotected anyway. He's asking for trouble.
Unprotected. Ghost can't hear you.
Well, they can certainly try, mate. And they can... So that's why you go for some protection. You go suited and booted. That is my take on it. And it works.
Right, that's the paranormal news then. Again, we'll put them stories on the Hangout and on the website. So if you go on Facebook, it's just Realm of the Supernatural Podcast Hangout. Or the website is www.realmofthesupernaturalpodcast.com.
Yep.
It's difficult to remember, I know. And then obviously the email, if you want to get in touch with us, send us, you know, that Black Mist shit or the film.
Yep.
It's supernaturalpod@gmail.com. Right, I've got a joke for you, but I think you've got another weird story that fascinated you.
As long as it's not a nun joke. It's rigged anyway, because we had a poll before who told the best nun joke, and apparently it was you, so I think it was rigged anyway.
I think the poll was, who do you want to hear tell the next nun joke?
Yeah, again, anyway,
that's what it was.
That's why I won, unfortunately. Anyway, I've got a couple of weird news. I just mention it on the show. Again, these will be put on the Hangout, just to let you have a look and see what you think. Scientists are at a loss to explain the strange tracks discovered after a robot was sent 4 kilometres below the Pacific Ocean's surface between Mexico and Hawaii. The massive markings measure 2.5 metres long and 13 inches deep and lie too deep for any known animal to have made them. Around 3,500 individual depressions were discovered by a deep diving drone as part of a British study from the National Oceanographic Centre in Southampton.
Okay.
Scientists have already ruled out mining and other commercial operations to be responsible, and experts also agree they are too huge to be created by known deep sea animals. So I'll put this on a Hangout. And then just think what you think. Anyway, while scientists do not have a conclusive evidence of what is making the massive tracks, experts do have an opinion.
Yeah. Also do.
Dr. Marsh adds that most likely culprits are deep diving whales.
Of course, yeah. Venus. And swamp gas. Yeah.
Swamp gas. Deep diving. I didn't know fucking whales had feet. Anyway, he's under a different thing. Yeah. Anyway,
he's in another dimension.
Just a bit, yeah. I think he's been on a wacky backy or something. Anyway, although the large aquatic mammals are not known for diving so deep, similar tracks found across the globe to imply that on the odd occasion, whales can plunge to such depths of 4 kilometres or more. Right. The report states that beak whales and sperm whales are the most specialised and least understood of all marine mammals. Bollocks, bullshit, yeah, whatever. Anyway, let's get another one. Dr. Daniel Jones from the NOC said, "This intriguing observation highlights our imperfect knowledge of this deep water environment."
Indeed.
So
we know shit about the ocean, basically.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely nothing.
Have you got more, or do you want the joke?
I'll do one more. Of weird news, and you can do your so-called joke.
Well,
so
I'll let the listener be the judge of that.
Yeah, well, okay then. Well, here's my last one.
If I can get through it, because this is my third run.
Well, okay then. Okay. Right. An invasion of flying bugs has caused mayhem for local residents as they are left unable to drive or walk around their own town.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. Swarms of midgets have filled the air and covered...
Midges.
Sorry, midges. Midges. Midget. What's it got there? Midges. Whatever. Anyway. Oh, midgets. You're all small people. We've got Bigfoot again, aren't we? Yeah.
That's something different entirely, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Well,
that's not, a show in Amsterdam.
I've got nothing against midgets. Nothing against it. I've got no bias. Swarm of
did
midgets.
You call them a swarm?
Yeah, call it, I did call it a swarm, yeah. Sorry. Anyway, I'll start again. Swarms of midges have filled the air and covered any open surface in their path.
Now you've offended three members of our audience.
How many?
Three.
Oh, I thought it was four. Of Taragon in southern Russia. Video footage shows one man displaying thousands of tiny creepy crawlies that have flooded the area outside his home. Another clip reveals the moment a large swarm ambushed open roads, bringing traffic to a complete stop. Residents have been unable to leave their homes as a thick layer of dead insects now poses dangerous driving conditions and slippery surfaces for walking. Oh dear. So
again, horrible little things as well, aren't they?
Apparently their lifespan is 2 to 5 days,
mm.
and so their decreased bodies are piling up, leaving an inch thick layer of debris.
That's 2 to 5 days too long, isn't it?
Yeah, well, but then people in the other countries who get swarms of locusts.
Mm, they just go ransack through fields. Oh,
they just rabbit in and it's just, that's gone, isn't it?
That's one good thing about it. If you're going to go on holiday to Gran Canaria, obviously with it being an island, there's no mosquitoes or nothing.
There isn't there?
Well, they get blown in from Africa every now and again.
Oh, right.
But obviously, in general, they're not really there. So, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flies, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your common old garden house fucking fly.
Well, over there, they seem a bit bigger, don't they?
No, these were relative to our thingies. In fact, they look like our things, yeah.
Well, I went to Greek Islands about 10 years ago, and the wasp there was double the size of our wasps. It's huge.
Well, I didn't see a wasp,
and you didn't mess about these
sort of, it's like
mutants.
Black flying beetle thing. That was a bit weird. Mm. Anyway.
Go on, then. Let's hear your joke.
Right, see if I can get through this.
It's not blue, is it?
It is a bit blue, yeah.
Oh, okay, then, yeah. Right, well, we're going to put an 18 on this, then.
Yeah, so. Well.
Okay.
Right.
It's time for the joke.
A young man moved out from home and into a new apartment, all of his own. Lol. He went proudly down to the lobby and put his name on the mailbox. While there, a stunning young lady came out to the apartment next to the mailboxes, wearing only a robe.
Ah.
The boy smiled at the young woman and started up a conversation with him. As they talked, her robe slipped open, and it was obvious that she had nothing else on. The poor kid broke into a sweat, trying to maintain eye contact. After a few minutes, she placed her hand on his arm and said, "Let's go to my apartment. I hear somebody coming." He followed her into the apartment. She closed the door and leaned against it, allowing her robe to fall off completely. Now nude, she peered at him. "What would you say is my best feature?" Flustered and embarrassed, he finally squeaked, "It's got to be your ears." Astounded and a little hurt, she asked, "My ears? Look at my breasts. They are a full 38 inches and 100% natural. I work out every day and my ass is firm and solid. I have a 28-inch waist. Look at my skin, not a blemish anywhere. How can you think that the best part of my body is my ears?" Clearing his throat and stammering, "Outside, when you said you heard somebody coming, that was me."
Oh, God.
Oh, that's all, folks.
They're getting worse.
Hey, that was sent in by our good friend Braithwaite, so.
Right, okay, you're all, yeah, he's a bit of a bluey, aren't you, Ian? So. Say no more, Mr. Ian.
No, he sends him, I'm going to tell him.
Yeah, tell him. He tells him.
on that, we'll call it and we'll say, see you on the other side.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Have a great week.
Yeah, great week. Bye now.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.